Welcome back to the Morning Roundup here on 99.9 The Rock. Just dealing with some technical issues.
This has been entertaining
little like 3 minutes here.
Glad I'm in person for this.
Yeah, we had the computer just kind of twitch out on me. Everything just wouldn't work for a minute. I'm talking about my personal laptop, of course, not our in-studio computer. And then there was kind of that fuzzy, like, when you pull up on the scene of a murder and the TV's like, or you know what I'm talking about? Like the TV
you have
has
been
like
watching
the,
too much SVU.
Yeah, I have. And then the TV's just like, shh. It did that for a minute. And now it's reopening everything on my computer. And I think we're back. This is, okay, to be fair, this is a 2013 Mac. So.
Good point.
It's old. It got me through college. It did what it needed to do, but I don't want to give up on it. It's still got some life in it.
They're horses, man.
They
are. Decade. Like, you know, I've had this one since 2017, I think, and starting to show a little sign of wear and tear, but we're still cooking.
This is not an Apple-sponsored broadcast, just a heads up there. Okay, let's get to where we were going before we had the technical issues. Looks like we're good, though. We're working, we're moving, everything's moving around.
Amazing.
Okay, let's get into it. We're talking Kansas State, Kansas. This is the matchup that everyone has had circled for at least the last 2 weeks in the Big 12. Kansas comes in at Bramlage Coliseum, tough place to play, but KU has been very, very, very good, especially in the last couple of years. How good have they been? Jalen Wilson, arguably maybe second right now in the Player of the Year award race, right behind Zach Edey from Purdue. He's 8-0. He's not lost to K-State yet. That includes 4 wins on the road against the Wildcats. It's the game for the top spot. No one thought Kansas State would be sitting here when we're having this conversation on January 17th, but that's where we're at. They come off a really exhausting game. Tough loss to TCU. Horned Frogs just kind of really ran them out of the gym. Just that's how TCU likes to play. KU just gets past Iowa State. Now Kansas has to go on a road, the place they haven't played a lot this year in the conference, but hasn't really mattered that much, and go up against a Kansas State team that is very, very, very hungry for a win, and this could really shake up how we look at the Big 12. I mean, with a win for K-State, they move to 5-1. KU drops to 5-1, and the Wildcats would have the tiebreaker over the Jayhawks. Right now, the early line prediction for the morning, KU -2, both teams' money line, pretty much right around each other. Definitely slight favorite for Kansas on the road, which is really rare to see. Typically, you don't see the road team who, I'll give Kansas, you know, they're undefeated in conference play, but in a game like this, I mean, I'm thinking Big 12, of course. I want to think back to that Wisconsin-Indiana game. Wisconsin was IU a favorite in that game, I think? Yeah, by about 4.5 points. Really rare you see the away team come in.
Oh, yeah.
Like a game like this with a slight favorite. Derek, first thoughts, what are you looking at here? We were kind of talking in the middle of the break, like, is this finally when KU loses? I have some concerns that this is going to be like that Missouri game. I think Kansas State is a much better team than Missouri was when these two teams played, but everything that was on the line, a rivalry game, these teams hadn't played each other, both 9-0, and KU comes in and just dominates the Tigers. I don't think it's going to be a domination type of game, but I do see it having the potential of a game where KU is able to come in and maybe hold on to, let's say, a 6-8 type of point lead for a good part of the game. I certainly hope not, but I just, in the back of my mind, I have that out there. I don't know.
Yeah, well, when you break this thing down, and you know I'm a big analytics guy, like I'm a numbers guy, and on paper, I don't know where K-State exposes Kansas in terms of weaknesses. Like, they're just not a lot of weaknesses. The one thing that is important in the Big 12, and this kind of goes back to officiating, is the free throw rate is low for both of these teams, right? Neither one gets to the line very well. But one thing that is very important in this game is rebounding, and that's something the Kansas offense does a lot. They rebound a ton of their misses, 31% of them. And K-State struggles in that category. Like, I just think Jalen Wilson's the best player in the game. Like, nobody questions that. Mm. And typically, not always, but most times, we saw it yesterday with Zach Edey at Purdue against Michigan State. When you have the best player in the game, you have the ball last, there's a great chance you're going to win the game. So I, as much as I think KU has messed around in tons of conference games up to this point, I mean, you can look back at basically every game that they've kind of messed around in the Big 12 slate, but I just don't know. I would love K-State to win this game because K-State's a team. You want these two to be as close as possible, right? Because they're going to match up again later this month. 2 weeks from today, they're going to play again in Lawrence. So I think this is a game that Kansas wins. I mean, I I would love it for it to be different. Oftentimes, rivalry stuff makes paper go out the window, but I'll ask you the question. Do you see weaknesses where KU can be beat, and how does K-State win this game?
And that's the thing, too. It's like, it kind of in that question, for me, it's not necessarily that Kansas State can't beat Kansas. It's where do they beat exactly. Kansas. Both these teams have not shown a ton of weakness. I want to credit that win for TCU, but I really want to think that was more of just, this conference is going to be a grind. It's going to be tough. It looked like K-State, you know, they were missing a lot of shots early on the road, a tough place to play in Texas there. And I just think that maybe that was kind of more chalked up to, we've had so much adrenaline riding this winning streak coming in. We're finally in the top 25 after everyone had really been doubting us at this point of the year. And now we get another win, a ranked win. And it's like, we've got Kansas, our biggest rival, coming up on Tuesday. You're maybe peeking ahead a little bit, but more so not just peeking ahead. You're just kind of coming off of that extreme high. And now you've got to ramp it back up. You're back at home. That should give you some juice. You know, Bramlage will be rocking. I know it's a Tuesday night, but this is the biggest game for Kansas State basketball, what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah.
More than likely. I mean, honestly, that's really what this feel should be. You can jump out here in the Big 12. That will give them an edge. It's only going to come down to who comes out flat. And I know that sounds really simple, but there's so much energy going into this game. If Kansas comes out and does what they've done in some of those games, we were talking about this off the air as well. You know, that Oklahoma State matchup I always think about in particular to start Big 12 play.
Here's the thing, though. They haven't done that on the road yet. And that's the big X factor. I think you're right, because if they do that on the road, they're going to get beat. Mm-hmm. They keep doing this stuff at home. Oklahoma State, they trailed by a bunch. You know,
Oklahoma.
They weren't that impressive against Oklahoma. But again, those games at home, so I think that's the difference.
Yeah, I certainly think if KU comes out and plays like they did against Oklahoma State, we could see, you know, go in the other direction. Maybe a K-State type of Texas matchup where K-State just runs them out of the gym. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to be honest with our listeners out there. I love the Big 12. I don't have a favorite in the Big 12. For the sake of the Big 12, I think it would be more interesting storyline-wise for Kansas State to grab a win.
Totally agree.
So let's play that situation. Let's go that scenario. Let's go down that road. Kansas State gets a win over KU. Both teams sit at 5-1. You'd have KU, Kansas State, and Iowa State all at 5-1 in Big 12 play.
Amazing we're talking about Iowa State in the mix, right?
Yeah, that's another conversation that is just incredible that we're having a conversation. You're right. Does this give you enough? Now, I know there's going to be more losses for whatever team loses tonight. I really do feel like that. I don't think Kansas goes undefeated in this conference, regardless whether it's tonight or the rest of the way.
They're probably going to lose 3 or 4, and that's still going to be good enough to win the league.
More than likely so. So my next question, if K-State wins this game, do you have the confidence in the Wildcats to not be the favorite in the conference, but be the second best team to win, taking it away from the record, just giving them that level playing field? Do you think they can withstand it's battle of attrition, right, at this point in this conference? Do you trust Kansas to win that race more, or do you trust Kansas State with a win over Kansas having that slight tiebreaker before their next matchup in 2 weeks to have a better chance?
There's no question it's Kansas. I mean, you think about the pedigree, and it's not even just about the pedigree. This is a team that is the defending national champions. Like, when you play like that, and this is a completely revamped team, and the one thing I will say is, I almost bought into earlier this year the Bill self-talk preseason about, his team not being ready and we're not ready to compete and all this stuff. Like, just stop. This is a top 10 team without question. A lot of folks think that they are the best team in the nation. I mean, there's certainly an argument to be made between them and Houston. I think Tennessee totally gets overlooked in that conversation. UCLA has played very well, and Alabama has some great wins. So there's certainly some parity up there at the top. And again, I even left out Purdue in that mix, and they're right there as well. They have the best player in the nation.
I'd love to see Purdue KU.
Oh, my
gosh.
I think
that'd be a great game.
And I'm telling you,
team matchup.
Like, exactly. It's such a fascinating matchup. And everybody knows at this point, unless Zach Edey gets hurt tomorrow, that it is a race for second for National Player of the Year. There is no question about that. There's really no argument to make. I mean, the guy, it took him 26 shots to get there yesterday, but he had 32-17. It's just impossible to stop him. So it is what it is. I think you're right, but if K-State wins this game, I think for sure Kansas gets them back on January 31st in 2 weeks, and I still think Kansas is in control of this conference right now, even if they fall out of first, which again is probably going to happen at some point. We're going to have teams mix around. You never know. Iowa State could grab the lead for a night. Like, there's just going to be a mix-up at the top. I still think Kansas is the best team in this league, and they have proven it with the close wins. It concerns me a little bit, but that's just how tight this conference is, and I think Kansas is legitimate. They are for real. They could win the national championship again. It's almost impossible to go back-to-back, but they are good enough to do it, and I think they will win this league. I don't know if they win tonight. I still think they're a favorite. We just mentioned it, but, you know, this is probably one of their theoretically toughest games remaining on the slate in terms of the regular season.
Well, that when you factor in the home court advantage for K-State, exactly. I certainly would think so too. And to have them favored in that game, I think speaks to how the numbers favor KU, not just in this game, but if we're looking at this is the most challenging game in conference play the rest of the way. I think last thing on the Big 12 talk, what this conference is going to come down to is the team that withstands the lows the shortest. Which team can break off of a two-game, three-game yep. losing streak, or not even losing streak, but maybe you go 1-2, 2-1, and you just barely escape, like KU kind of has been through these first five games. How do you withstand that and then transition to playing your best basketball? Because we could argue that K-State has played the best basketball in the conference for the first five games, where they've yes. beaten the teams they've beaten. Now they're coming off of a loss against TCU. You cannot get blown out by Kansas on the road. That'll snowball, I think, in a really poor direction, too, when you think about this team is a lot of transfers. It's a lot of guys that are playing together for the first time. They've looked fantastic. Jerome Tang's done an awesome job bringing this unit together cohesively, but it's a difference in, you know, how you play together when the going is good and then when the going gets tough. You know, a lot of guys who haven't played with each other or aren't comfortable with each other, that can really not create tension. I'm not saying anything like that, but it's just how do you respond when you're not playing your best basketball? We've seen KU battle through not their best basketball, still do a couple of wins, albeit at home. Tonight will tell us a lot in the Big 12 picture, and I think that's the best way of putting it without specifically getting into it. I'm going to take K-State for fun to win by a possession, just because I want to see chaos, I want to see madness, I want to see how KU responds to a loss against Kansas State. I want to see, you know, if they can bounce back, beat K-State the second time around. That's probably my national championship contender heading out the rest of the way. That really will be.
Well, I hear your point, too, because, again, losses can snowball in this conference so quickly. And the next, you talk about responding after a loss, here's Kansas' upcoming schedule. TCU at home, on the road at Baylor, on the road at a surging Kentucky team that just took down Tennessee.
That game will be fun.
And then K-State again. So, like, there's just no breaks. And then Iowa State on the road, and then Texas at home. Like, there's just no breaks in this conference. They have a tough draw in terms of Kentucky in the Big 12 SEC Challenge, but the possibilities are there. We're at kind of a breaking point, if you will, in this season, and this is one of those critical junctures. There's always a few games every year where you can say, okay, this game is going to decide the direction of the team for a while, and this is one of those for Kansas. For K-State, not so much because, again, the expectations preseason not there, and this is a team that, you know, by all measures, if they make the NCAA tournament, in my opinion, that is a successful season. And this is a team that has the potential to do more than that. So there's a lot more on the line for Kansas here. And if they win this game, then they'll firmly have taken control of the conference.
Yeah, I think if you ask any K-State fan, a tournament appearance alone would be mm-hmm. enough to satisfy them for this year and kind of where this program's moving. I think if they go 500 in conference play, they probably have a
sure.
an NCAA berth based on the wins they already have and the record they would have. So, you know, looking pretty good for K-State and KU as well. Last stop here for us this morning. We're going to look at these NFL, I almost said NCAA, NFL divisional playoff predictions. Nothing specific, nothing too crazy, just an early look ahead at the four games we do have on Saturday. Jaguars at the Chiefs, Kansas City back in action for the first time in these postseason playoffs. KC right now an 8.5-point favorite. That's a 3:30 kickoff. And then the nightcap on Saturday, Giants at Eagles, 7:15. Eagles, 7.5-point favorite. And I do have to preface this by saying, I think I was looking at an Eastern time, so let's go 2:30. And then, no, I think I did have it right. I had it right, yeah. I had it right.
It's now. Right.
It's right, yeah. East Central time.
3:30 Central time.
Sorry, folks. I get mixed up sometimes. I'm not good with the time zones. We're still figuring it out 7 months into the gig here when games are starting and when they aren't starting. Bengals at Bills, 2 p.m. Bills, a 4.5-point favorite. Cowboys at the Niners, 5 p.m. That's your nightcap on Sunday. -4 right now in favor of the 49ers. So, Derek, here's how we're going to do it. We're going to pick one favorite to cover,
okay.
one underdog to cover, one underdog to win, And then you can pick a game again. You can pick two. It doesn't matter how it's going to look for this last one. The best game you think of the weekend and what it will be. I'll let you kind of go first. Okay. We're rolling this line. We went over the times, the opponents, and we went over the current lines for these four games we're looking at.
All right. So in terms of favorite to cover, I think it's going to be the Chiefs. 8.5 points. I think this is definitely a game the Chiefs can win by two possessions. I think the Jags are good, and I'm not taking anything away from the Jags. You just got an unproven, although, you know, I don't know how much longer we can call him an unproven playoff quarterback given the second half comeback that he mounted in the wild card round. But I think the Chiefs are good enough to cover. Underdog, I can tell you, in my opinion, and of course, you know this, well, I could go both ways here. Underdog to cover, I'm going to go with the Cowboys. I think they make this at least close. I'm not so confident in saying that they're going to be able to go on the road and win. Niners are, again, a team that I kind of had around the Super Bowl, so I think the Cowboys are good enough to beat them, but at least that should be a one-possession game. And then underdog to win, I've easily got the Bengals in that. Still ride the team. I think the playmakers that the Bengals have, yes, they have a depleted offensive line, and that's certainly a concern, but you've got a quarterback that is very capable of winning football games, and that is the X factor in playoff football. And the best game of the weekend, I also think it's Bengals Bills. I will say Giants Eagles could be the best game of the weekend too. And never, how many times have we burned ourselves and people in the media overall playoff divisional games in the playoffs and say, this isn't going to be close. We know the Eagles are better. Teams know each other the best. They have to play twice in the regular season. That is a sneaky, sneaky good game. So I actually think I hit all four games, but Giants Eagles could be the best game of the weekend, and I could very easily see the Giants going in and winning. What they did on the road and being calm and composed in the fourth quarter and in the second half overall against the Vikings, a very good team in the regular season, this is a team that could win in the playoffs and make themselves into the NFC Championship.
I think so, too. And one more note on that Giants-Eagles game. The Eagles played almost all their starters in that last matchup because they had to get that number one overall seed to get the bye. Giants, I think, I don't know if Jones, I think he may have started, but they definitely just kind of eased back and weren't too, you know, physical late in that game. So they didn't show a lot in that game.
No, but also Jalen Hurts is still dealing with the shoulder thing. And it probably is going to be minimal. I mean, that was in week 15, but I'm just saying it's a possibility. Yeah. You never know. This guy's probably not going to be 100%. Most guys aren't coming into the playoffs at 100% anyway. But that's also another factor to keep in mind.
I think that's the most surprising line of the weekend. 7.5.
I agree.
Over a touchdown. That's a lot of points.
Again, divisional game.
Yeah.
Giants have been good enough to beat a lot of teams in the NFL this year. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a very good team. So I was shocked by that as well.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do. Favorite to cover. I'm going to roll with the 49ers. I think they're going to get it done over the Cowboys. I think it's going to be a close game. I really do kind of where you're thinking in there within a field goal. But I think it's just maybe a late touchdown that separates this one. That's more so. I still think it'll be a great game. I don't think they're going to blow them out by any stretch. Underdog to cover, I'm going to go with the Giants. I think that's the easiest one, maybe the low-hanging fruit to grab there. One underdog to win, I'm also going to double down. I'm going to go with the Giants to win that
game. I like the pick.
Yeah,
I love the pick.
I think that they do enough in that game. Philadelphia's banged up, especially defensively. Who would have thought we'd be saying Daniel Jones is the best quarterback of the weekend? But
He was last weekend.
Is half of what he was against the Eagles, and they can run the football with Saquon Barkley.
Yes,
I think that's an intriguing game, and I think they can get that one done. The best game of the weekend, Bengals at Bills. I'm gonna have to go with. I think that'll probably be end up being the best game of the weekend. That Jags Chiefs game is sneaky good. I really think it is. I think the Jags
could be a lot of points.
I think the Jags might be out of steam a little bit. But Doug Peterson is one of the best coaches in the NFL, in my opinion. And I think that, you know, Duval's got something going right now that they haven't had since, well, the last time they were in the AFC Championship. I don't think they can beat KC, but Kansas City comes in. They get an extra week to watch Jacksonville. They'll know what to do and kind of what not to do, I think. But early on, I think Trevor Lawrence comes in locked and loaded. I don't think he has that first half start that he had. Last little note on this, Derek, because I'm kind of looking over these games. Where is our best quarterback matchup? Mm. It's hard to pick.
Very.
It really, really is hard to pick. We can maybe go best and worst, but there really isn't a worst quarterback matchup out here. And I know a lot of people might hint at the Daniel Jones, Jalen Hurts. You got to remember, Hurts is an MVP candidate.
Oh, yeah.
And Daniel Jones could be MVP of the playoffs. So, if they win this game and he does that again, he's MVP of the playoffs. You got a young quarterback, two young quarterbacks. I mean, Patrick Mahomes still very young. And then you're looking, obviously, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. Is that where you're kind of thinking? I know you're a big Bengals fan. Josh Allen didn't look great, though.
But Josh Allen has weaknesses, and everybody knows that. Like, he has a turnover problem. So people know and understand that. So I don't know. I mean, really good. You could almost make the argument of Trevor Lawrence and Patrick Mahomes because of how much weight gets carried by Patrick Mahomes in that matchup. But Trevor Lawrence is legitimate as well. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you know this. Anybody knows this. Do the Jags win that game without Trevor Lawrence? Of course not. I mean, he manufactures a comeback second half. I don't know how many quarterbacks that are remaining could have pulled off a comeback like that. Yes, they were at home. Yes, they were against the Chargers, and I know they had plenty of issues.
Superchargers.
And a team that, yeah, exactly. But, no, I think that could be – there's an argument to be made. Joe Burrow and Josh Allen is a good one as well. There's some great, great matchups. And I think for the NFL, a lot of folks, of course, on the AFC side at least, want to see the Bills-Chiefs rematch. But this divisional round weekend – I don't know how it could get a lot better. I mean, there's eight teams in this league, in this remaining playoffs, and probably seven of them could win the Super Bowl, or six at least.
Yep, I'm right there with you.
You know, this is awesome, awesome for the NFL, and this should be a great weekend.
And we were worried. I think after that first game, the Dolphins and Bills game, we thought after Buffalo kind of raced out to that quick lead, we were worried, like, is this going to be a really boring wild card weekend? Are we getting a lot of lopsided games? It didn't turn out that way. Fortunately, it did not turn out that way. And I think these games are going to, you know, step up to the task. That Jags-Chiefs game, 8.5, it could end up in a shootout for Kansas City. But
I know Chiefs fans are worried because they never have confidence.
Yeah.
But I just...
At home.
I think Chiefs fans have been spoiled for too long. And if you're able to worry about stuff like that, you're in a really darn good spot.
I think so, too. And I love the Eagles at 7.5. That line's going to go down. I really think that. And if we hear anything about, you know, a lot's going to be talked about Jalen Hurts' condition. How's he looking after the off week? You know, what are they capable of? They're still missing some pieces on defense. And even if they're not going to miss them, I think they're going to be shorthanded, it seems like. Or not shorthanded, I should say. Not 100%, kind of where the Eagles are looking at defensively. Should be a lot of fun. We still got a couple of days before we do get into that. Last thing here for us, though, we're going to go ahead and take a look at tonight's schedule across our WKBC network of stations. It's busy. It's packed. There's a ton of high school basketball coverage. Holcomb versus Clay Center, that's a 3 p.m. tip-off on KBUF. A little afternoon hoops for you. Boys to start, girls to follow. Girls to start, boys to follow. Scott City is off with the win last night. Hugoton girls take on Smoky Valley at 4:30. The boys will follow with Kingman on KHGN. And then you've got K-State basketball versus KU. If you're looking for the K-State broadcast, that's Mix 94.5. If you're looking for the KU broadcast, that's on KBUF. And then, of course, Derek's game. Solo spot. All the eyes, all the ears, if you will be on this Dodge City game. Girls basketball versus Great Bend should be an absolutely fantastic Western Athletic Conference matchup. 6:40 pregame on Z98.1. Tip off at 7 p.m. Derek, anything else for us today?
I don't think so. Again, very excited for, I don't know if we can officially call it Waction because I think I can get behind that. This is going to be a fun night. And
could get some shirts going.
Yeah. No, seriously. I mean, you and I both know on both sides, especially on the girls' side, one of the most competitive conferences in the state. And there's no question about it. And I was around, somebody at Dodge City said yesterday, you know, I don't really start paying attention or, you know, take too much stock into what happens until you get into WAC play, because that's how you decide whether you're good. Because all the chips are even, and all these teams, for better or for worse, are pretty even in terms of school size and everything else. Setup, it's all very even, and it makes for a competitive league just like we saw in football. So I can't wait.
Gonna be a ton of fun. Certainly can't wait. We'll go ahead and get the trademark going right now for Waction, and we'll get those shirts start pumping out for you if you're interested. We'll get a link sent out. No, I'm just kidding. But maybe. Who knows? I don't know. Well, have a great day, everyone. We appreciate you so much for joining us. Do have a program note for you. Coming up Thursday, Friday, we will be out of the office, so we will not have an edition of the morning roundup. We do apologize. We're just navigating this very, very packed high school basketball stretch. I'll be out of town. Derek will be out of town as well. So we're going to work it from just tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the last show of the week, and then we'll get you back here on Monday, 9 a.m., 10 a.m., every weekday, except Thursday, Friday this week, of course. But enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, wherever you are, however you are. Listen to some hoops. Enjoy a wonderful college basketball matchup, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow. For Derek Decker, I'm Baylen Heights, saying so long. Another edition of the Morning Roundup in the books.
This has been the Morning Roundup Show featuring Baylen Heights and Derek Decker, live on 99.9 The Rock, a WKBC sports production.